And clap of praise this morning, right? I love the verse that says that if we don't praise it, the rocks may cry out. And as we've heard before, there's no rock going to take my place. Amen. Don't let an inanimate object rise up before you do. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, this morning, before we get started, it is so good to see some faces that have been out or sick or vacationing or ill or whatever that have you, and God has brought you home safely. We have many things to pray about this morning. Please remember Amanda in your prayers. Please remember the prayer requests that come in. Many of you receive text or you receive emails or somebody calls you on the phone and says, remember so-and-so, they're sick or they're ill. Remember those that are at home. The heat is quick to get people, so some people are safe and they stay home. And we just ask that God reach right where they're at and bless them and touch them in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, hallelujah, join with me in praying. Lord, we ask that you would reach down through the door of heaven, Lord, that you would touch each and every person. Holy Spirit, you would go to their homes right where they're at. You would go to the rehab centers, Lord. We pray that you go to the hospital beds. We ask that you go right to their very bedroom or their living room and give them a fresh touch from the Master's table. Father, speak a good word to them, a new word, perhaps something that they haven't heard in a while, Lord. Come right from your mouth in Jesus' mighty name. We pray for healing. We pray for deliverance. We pray that you will reach down and set your people free. Set the captives free. Lord, all the people that are bound up are not just in jails, but they're walking our streets and they're caught up in nonsense or they're wrapped up in drugs. And Lord, we ask that you reach into their lives and you pull them out. Father, we ask you reveal yourself to them, that they would know that it is not by their efforts alone, but by the very hand of God that brings restoration, deliverance, and healing in Jesus' mighty name, and a victorious amen. Amen. Well, from looking around and from listening, it looks like that the world is flooding a little bit. That's what we're going to talk about this morning is flooding. As I get text or as I get emails or as things come my way, people call up on the phone or stop by the house. It looks a lot like the world has a little bit of a flood upon it. A little bit of a flood. I'm not just talking about water that seems to overwhelm when it rains, but I'm talking about the problems of life. I'm talking about the situations that we find ourselves in, and they seem to just they seem to grow. And you know, whenever the telephone goes off or the radio does that, whatever the sound that it makes, and it says that there's a flash flood warning for the area you're in to watch out. You know, a lot of times that means that nothing is going to happen. But sometimes the rain comes so hard, and sometimes it comes so quickly. It runs down the hills or the rolling hills or the mountains into the valleys. And the town around here that really suffers a lot of the time is Kilbuck. If it comes a good rain, the whole town is nearly underwater. It floods very quickly, very swiftly. And when those waters recede and you get to see what's left behind, what do you find? You find silt and you find debris inside of cars that gets through somehow. It slips through the cracks. Even though the doors are locked and they're shut, it manages to get in. We find it in the houses, even though the front doors are locked and all the doors are closed, all the windows are shut. Even though here in the north we have apparently what they call snow barriers that goes on the outside edge of your doors that keeps the snow from packing into the cracks around the doors. Even though we have all of these things, we still find after a flood remnants that reminds us that something tragic just happened, something bad just happened. Our lives are no different. In life, it feels like that sometimes we wake up early in the morning and everything seems good. And as the day goes on, it just seems like it won't stop raining on us. It feels like those waters are coming down the mountainside and they're just filling up the hole that I'm standing in. Some days you get up and it's the job, and then it turns to the kids, and then it turns to an argument, or it turns into a relational issue, and then it turns into a phone call from a teacher or a phone call from the daycare center that the child is falling sick during the day, or can you come get them? They're throwing up. We could go on for days about the floods of our life. We could go on for days. But what about this flood? If you would, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. I want to ask you about this particular type of flood. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. What about that flood? What about the flood that you can't run to the store and get sandbags for? What about the flood that you can't run to the basement and turn on the sump pump? What about the flood that no matter what you do, no matter how you can prepare for it, you can jump in your car and move it up on the street? What about the floods that you can't do anything about? What about the ones that God's allowed to come to your life? Think about Job. We have Satan, he's going to and from in the earth, and he goes before the presence of God, and God says, "What are you doing?" As if he didn't know. And he says, "I'm just going to and from in the earth, trying to find who I can devour," basically. He looks at him and he says, "Have you considered my servant Job?" I want to tell you something. If a flood is coming your way in life, it doesn't mean you're doing something wrong. Let me say that again. If a flood is coming your way in life, it does not necessarily mean that you're doing something wrong. It may mean that you're doing a whole lot of right. Now, there's two kinds of floods. There's the kind that we cause and the type that God allows. I love to see smiles. The kind of flood that we cause, and I got to pick an easy one, is if we found ourselves in lack. We've all been in lack. Anybody in this room that tells me that I've never been in lack or want for something, you've wanted or you've been in lack of something, whether it be a want or a genuine need. In my case, it would be a need. And when you go forward, you get that urge to steal something. Everybody knows the urge that I'm talking about, the urge to pick up something that does not belong to you, the urge to want to get something because it's easy or quick. And maybe you could use it or maybe you could sell it. But you know, whether you take it out of necessity or whether you take it out of spite, is still stealing. Is stealing is still wrong. So if you go and you steal something because you're in lack and you find yourself wearing orange in a jail cell, you created the flood. You can apply that to every aspect of your life. Every aspect. We can create floods in our own lives. But then we've come across verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and against the rulers of the darkness of the world. There are floods that come our way that we don't ask for. There are things that come against us that we don't necessarily create. If you don't steal something, but you're falsely accused, I would say that you didn't exactly create the flood. You just get to deal with it. It's just a quick, easy example. God allows trials and tribulations and problems into our life just like He allowed Job. Just like He allowed Job. In our trials and tribulations, what do we expect God to do? What do we expect God to do? If your life feels like it is crumbling around you, if it feels like it's falling apart, what is the very first thing that you do? Many people lash out in anger. Many people fall apart and call in sick to work. Many people end up at the hospital. They have a breakdown or they start hyperventilating. Whatever it is. And then some people go to their knees. Some people pick the phone up and try to get the prayer chain on the line before they go to their knees. We should go to Him first before we start including other people. We should go to Him first. If you're a Christian and you've given your life to Him and you would tell me, Pastor, I have a relationship with Him, then I would think when times get tough, we would go to our knees. When the floods come and when the mud is flowing in our spiritual homes, if you wanted to put it that way, or if it's flowing in our real homes, it seems like that we would go to the one who can make the difference first, because we put our faith in Him first. The scripture of the day is Isaiah 59:19. Many of you, I'm sure, could quote it. Isaiah 59:19, it says this, "So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and His glory from the rising of the sun, when the enemy shall come in like a flood. The Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him." A few moments ago when I was describing the flood of your life, did that come to mind? "For when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against them." If I ask you to get your phones out or ask you to get out a piece of paper out and write down for me exactly what does that mean that you could expect, we would find Romans chapter 2 verse 11, the Bible tells us that God is no respecter of persons. It doesn't matter how much money you have or how much political influence you have, or it doesn't matter who likes you or who does not. It doesn't matter if you feel like you're worth something, or it doesn't matter if you feel like you're worthless. God views us all the same. So if He's going to rise up a standard against someone when a flood is coming into their life, well, then He'll do it for you. Over the years, I've asked people, I've said, exactly what is this standard that He's going to rise up? What is He going to do? I'm not one of these that somebody thumps the Bible and tells me what it says and I just kind of run along with it. I want to know, what does the standard look like? What does the standard sound like? What does the standard feel like? How in the world am I supposed to know when it's happening? The easy way is this. There'll be a shift. There'll be a turning point in the flood. People will be going down is what it looks like. And we'll be praying. We'll be binding together. We'll be believing and seeking God on their behalf. Some will be fasting. Some will be screaming. Some will be lashing out. All sorts of emotions can be going forward. And then all of a sudden in a person's life we find a shift. They start to turn the other way. And a lot of time it sounds like this. You know something? They're doing better. When our relationships, that's what we find. A lot of time the shift is, you know what? They're doing better. If somebody comes to me and they say we're having marital issues or we're having problems, and we sit down and we counsel, a few weeks later I say, how's it going? And they say, you know something? It's better. It's because something has happened and there's a shift in the spiritual, something that you cannot see. I recognize that that is the Holy Spirit lifting up a standard on our behalf. Lifting up a standard on our behalf. To really, I think, appreciate what God is telling us here, we need to pull the thing apart. We need to dissect it down. In the beginning, where I want to dissect it down at verse 19, we find the word standard. I'm going to use King James. New King James is pretty much exactly the same, but hear this word standard. You don't find this word in every translation that you'll pick up, the God's Word or NIV or go on and so forth. But is what you will find that King James in 1611, when they put this word here, they put it there because it meant something to them, not that it means a thing to you. A standard to me is the way I am. This is the way I act. This is who I am. I have a standard of belief. I have a standard of living. I have things that I will do and things that I won't do. Those are my standards. When we discuss, that's how we see it, that we have standards. God has standards, things that He expects. But this word here doesn't exactly translate like that. If I took the army of God, if I took all the people on this room, this half, and I lined you up across the platform. And we have people standing shoulder to shoulder to shoulder all the way across. And they're in full agreement to go to battle. I'm going to refer to a man in Chris language called the standard man. The standard man is watching from a hilltop. Okay? He's back away from the front line. So we have the front line, you're here, but we have the standard man that's back here on the hilltop. And is what he does is he has a flag in his hand. And he's probably sitting on a horse because a horse is faster than his legs. And as he's sitting there, he's watching the front line tediously and he's trying to figure out who is winning and who is losing. As the standard man is observing you as you're on the front line in your life, and he starts to see that the flood is beginning to happen, that some soldiers on the front are starting to go down. Maybe the one on the front has dropped the shield and now they're down on one knee. Maybe the second line of defense is not exactly working right. Maybe the wisdom failed today because we got overexcited. And all of a sudden, the enemy is rushing in towards the line. But the enemy is smart, and they've realized that I just found a weak spot. I just found a wrinkle in the armor. And it's that person right there that's on their knees. There's a hole in the wall, and I think we can get through. The enemy starts to collect and starts to come that way, just like somebody picking a sore. The standard man's job from the hilltop is to recognize the weak spot the instant that it starts to happen. And he rushes down off the hill and he raises his flag. This is good right here. When he raises his flag, it tells the backup soldiers and the horsemen where they need to go to. Because they're being outflanked. They're being overrun. So when he shows up and raises the flag, the army concentrates to that point to revive that line and put it back the way it's supposed to be. What does that mean to you? It looks like that when we start to get weak, when we start to falter, when our armor starts to break down, when the armor of God, if that's what you want to call it, starts to break down, when we don't have peace in our life because our feet being shod with the peace of the gospel feel like we're walking on hot coals and it feels like everything's falling apart, there starts to become a weak spot, and that is when the enemy of our soul wants to concentrate on that spot. We've heard the saying, when it rains, it pours. Well, I just told you why. Because when the enemy finds a weak spot in your life, then the job becomes to bombard that spot to try to get you to fail. But if we stay in faith and we continue in James 1, you hear me say this all the time. It says to be a hearer of the word, be a doer of the word, and then continue. If you're not hearing and doing and continuing, we have to continue. In our continuance, you know what? I might be down and out. My peace might be hurting over here, but I'm still fighting. I might not be able to stand up on my own 2 feet right now because I'm a little bit sick, I'm a little downtrodden, I'm a little wounded. I don't exactly feel like moving forward at the moment, but I am not going to give up. Just wait, because the standard man is going to show up on your behalf. And when he raises his flag, God is going to look around and say, you know what, Holy Spirit, it's time to show up on their behalf and show them what peace that passes all understanding looks like. Amen. Amen. It applies to everything that we do. We'll be going in life and we feel like we're just so beat down. Maybe we're jobless. And it just feels like the bills keep piling. It just feels like it keeps getting worse and worse and worse. It feels like we're drowning. And sometimes, you know, the NSF fees that have been so bad at the bank that I went to the bank and sat down and looked at the man and told him, you know what, I'm embarrassed, but we need to stop the bleeding. Shut the account down. Do what you got to do. Because if you don't stop the NSF fees from coming through, the flood's here, my friend. I've told them that. And you know what? I've had them look back at me across the desk and ask me, they've said, Mr. Giles, tell me what's going on. And I explained that a customer had given me a bad check. It wasn't a bad check for like $29. It was thousands. And it messes up the whole operation. And I've had those people say, you know what? The bank says we can only wipe off one, but I'm going to take them all away because I don't feel like this is your fault. I was drowning. It was a negative $1,000 in the bank or so. I was owning a swimming pool company. Things was not good. The flood was coming in. I had to put gas in the car and food on the table. Things just kept getting worse. And all of a sudden, just like that, I saw the man's face and I thought, this is the standard man right here. And he took the power that he had and he was able to turn my situation around. I got done with him. I said, sir, do you go to church? And he said, yes, I do. And I said, what made you do that? And he said, I heard the Lord speak. God will show up for you and he will fight your battle. He will put the front line back. He will do what he is supposed to do in your life. If we will continue. I want you to see the standard of God rise up in your life. How in the world are you going to have an overcoming testimony to tell somebody what God did if you just think it was all chance? It's not chance. Every good thing in your life is a gift from God. When you start to see that situation turn around, you go tell somebody, I want to tell you what the Lord has done in my life today. I want to tell you how He's touched me. I want to tell you how He delivered me, how He set me free. Maybe you woke up in the morning by lunchtime, you felt like you was walking in mud knee deep, and it felt like that everything was falling apart. But then the next morning you might have got up and felt like, you know what? The mud's feeling a little more firm. A couple of things worked out for me. A day or two later you might be standing on a rock and you might be thinking, you know what? Hindsight is 20/20, but I don't even feel like I went through a hard spot. Amen. Amen. Before I continue, I want to share something with you here. 1 Peter 5:8 says this. It says that the devil prowls and he seeks someone whom he can devour. He's looking to devour somebody that's weak. Somebody that won't keep fighting when they go down on their knees. As a Christian, you're your strongest when you get on your knees, so don't discount that. I looked up the original text on this particular verse because I thought, you know what, God, I just feel like that there's just something else that you can show me. I just feel like there's something else that you're saying. I feel like that the people of God need just a little bit more. And I felt prompted to go get this Bible that I have of mine. It's absolutely beautiful. It has a copper sleeve on it. The representations of the 12 tribes of Israel is on it. We read from left to right. We read from top to bottom. And we read from front to back. In Hebrew, you don't read like that. You read from right to left, from top to bottom, from back to front. So when you put your hands on this Bible and you open it up, the table of contents is in the back, not the front. The only reason I'm saying this is because somebody's going to say, can I look at that? And I'm going to say, yeah, and then you're going to come to me later and you're going to say, why is it that the flood is in the back? That's why, because the book is backwards. The book is backwards. And in the front, where we would normally start, you have an index. The wording is very small. The entire book is written in Hebrew. It's very small. In Hebrew, they don't use punctuation like we do. They don't put commas and things like that. They use pauses and spacing to create effect. Whereas if we want somebody to see lies, the New Testament calls it, stop right there and think about what you just read. We want to put a comma, or we want to put a period. We'll say see law on it. But then when they did it, they just stopped for a minute, and then they just pick right up and go again because they know, right? They know how they're writing. So in this book, you'll see the Hebrew, and you'll see little spaces and dashes in different places. You'll never find a comma. Okay? If y'all want to see it, you're more than welcome to. I said that to say this. In the original text, you find the word Nahar, N-A-H-A-R. And that is the place where the word flood is. But Nahar don't mean flood. Nahar means river. Nahar means river. And there's no comma. But then when the translation took place, we put the comma after flood. Where it looks like the enemy comes in like a flood. If you've looked on the internet or you've seen pictures of a tsunami and you see the people standing on the beach or the people taking video from the windows and this huge mountain of water is rushing towards the shore, that's what we think when we read this, when the enemy comes in like a flood. But in the original text, river, so then we see this, when the enemy shall come in like a river, comma, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against. But we got to remember there's no comma. So in the original text it says this, so when the enemy comes in, and right there they put a pause. They don't give any glory to them. When the enemy comes in, he gets no glory with it, the river, the Spirit of the Lord, shall lift up a standard against. Let's say it again. When the enemy shall come in, a river, the Spirit of the Lord, will lift up a standard against it. You see, the ancients didn't see any point in giving any, I see it right there, they didn't see any reason or point to create an emphasis or to give any glory. I love the idea of the enemy coming upon me like a flood, and I stand there and look at it, and I know that a bigger flood is standing in front of me going forward. That makes me excited. But to know that God looked around and said, you know, Chris, when the enemy comes in, I'm the flood. I'm the river. And the Holy Spirit is referred to as rivers of living water and different things as such. He is going to go forward. What do rivers do? Look at the Grand Canyon. Look at the Grand Canyon. Where a mighty river goes, it changes the landscape. It makes things different. They cannot stay the way that they was. In your life, when the enemy comes upon you and is trying to create those issues that brings us to our knees, we need to be expecting God not to just show up and be like, you know, I'm going to fix this, but He should make a way in front of us that changes the landscape of our life, which we get the idea of being overcomers by the word of our testimony. If you go through something and you walk through it and you say, you know what, God is making a way where there is no way, and then we get turned around and a year later we run into the exact same issues and problems, how easy is it to say, I've seen this before? That's what it means to be an overcomer by the word of your testimony, is to say, I've seen that before, and I know how God deals with that. You bump into somebody and they tell you, I'm going through something. You know what? I've seen that before. This is what you can expect. This is what you can expect. How much more powerful is it to know that God is so great and He is so mighty that He trusts you to go to battle when He's beside you? But then when you get to your weak spot, God says, in your weakness, I am strong. And He lifts up that standard and He makes a way for you. Amen. 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 And everybody said amen. When the devil is looking around and he's trying to find somebody to pick on, and it comes your way, don't take it personal. Don't take it personal. He said to be thankful in all things. In you going through a hard time, you might just see the presence of God on your life. I refer to it as the fingerprints of God. If you don't go through nothing and you don't have any faith for God to rise up and deliver you and make a way, change the landscape of your life, then how is it that you know He did something? How is it that you can take somebody by the hand and say, you know what, I want to pray with you? Christians are really good at this. We're really good at somebody coming to us and telling us, you know, I'm going through something. My life is seemingly falling apart. I have people, they've come up to me in restaurants and they want to tell me how things are falling apart. That might be good. Things falling apart might be good. Because God is looking to and from in the earth trying to find somebody He can show Himself strong through. And He may have just chose you today. So instead of fretting and getting all upset, pick yourself up and say, you know what? This may be a good thing. I've been praying for God to show up in my life, and all I seem to be getting is trouble. Maybe He's allowing trouble in your life so that He can show you who He is if you will recognize it in front of you. Amen. It's hard to be happy and satisfied and content when things are hard. But if we can change our view, if we can change how we look at it, I would never tell somebody my life's falling apart because it just might. I would never say that. The Bible says that the power of life and death lies in your tongue. Power of life and death lies in your tongue. So why in the world would you speak over your life that my life's falling apart? Don't do that. Instead, look at that financial problem. Look at that relational issue. Look at that flooding that is coming your way and say, you know what? This is what the Word of God says about it. This is what the Word of God says about it. The Lord says for me to be continuance. He says for me to be steadfast. He says for me to be patient. He says that if I need to fast about it, fast about it. If I got to pray about it, pray about it. If I need to get a better mind about myself, maybe you need to get along in worship. The more that we focus on our small things, the bigger the problems get. The bigger the problems get. A doctor told me one time, he said that people that come to them that have had a breakdown and they put them on certain medicines, it's because they focus in on the bad so much that it pushes them over the edge. That was the layman word. We cannot spend so much time giving the devil some glory, focusing on the bad or the trial or the tribulation, that we don't let God have His place in our life and recognize it when He steps in it. Amen. Amen. People of God, God is wanting to intervene in your life. God wants to make you a new creature. He wants to lift up a standard and He wants you to see it when it happens, and He wants you to go tell somebody so that they can see it. He doesn't want a bunch of blind people running around talking about, I got lucky. No, you didn't. No such thing as luck. God wants you to see the fingerprints. He wants you to see His face. He wants you to see His hand. And the only way that we get to see Him is if we know enough of His Word that the second He starts to move, that we can recognize that that's God right there. That's God right there. In times of life when a job has fallen apart, and there's been way more than one, family of 7 or 8 trying to live on $1,000 a month? That gets tough, people. Amanda's asked me before, what are we going to do? Everything we've been doing. We're going to pray, and we're going to seek, and we're going to worship, and we're going to fast, and we're going to give what we can, and then we're going to continue to do the same thing over and over and over again, and every time God wins a battle, we're going to give Him the glory, and then when we come out of it, we're going to have a testimony that we know who God is and what God does. And after a season, everything works out. And we look back and we say, you know what, that wasn't that bad. That wasn't that bad. That wasn't that bad. Would you stand to your feet with me this morning? In Hebrew, they read from top to bottom, right to left, back to front. We've always read top to bottom, left to right, front to back. Just because God is doing something you're not used to doesn't mean a thing. When God delivered me from my issues, He used a bank teller. He might not use a bank teller. You might go to the mailbox and pull out a check from an old 401 or something you didn't know was there. When I've had rough relationships in my life, God has spoke to me and told me what to do, and I do it, and God works it out. He may not speak to you just like that and tell you how to do it. You may ask somebody, and they may have the wisdom to tell you what the Word of God says, and then you can go do it. Just because the way that we see God move, He gets to choose the standard. He gets to choose the rules. He gets to move the pieces. He gets to tear down a kingdom and raise one up. It's none of our business or concern. The important part is this, is that we continue. And the important part is that when God moves, we see Him move. We see Him move. And when you're down and when you feel like you're being punished, when things are rocky and rough, and you start to see that standard, you start to see that shift, you start to see that principality, that power, whatever that darkness is, you start to see it move. Know that a river is changing the landscape in front of you, and you cannot continue the way you've been going. You cannot continue the way you've been going. You might end up in the same mud hole farther down the river. God delivers us and He shows us His face and He shows us His way, and He has people speak into our lives so that we can recognize Him, so that we can learn and we can grow in wisdom, and we can pick ourselves up and not go jump back in another pothole full of muck up the road. But so you can walk like this. The Bible talks about walking in the Spirit. It talks about walking in the Spirit, and what that looks like is this. If that's the pothole that I fall in, and I see the shift, I see the hand of God, I see the standard, and I know that God is changing the landscape in front of me, and I don't apply what I learned, God will let you step right back off in the same hole farther down the road, and you see people do it all the time. But walking in the Spirit does this. You're walking along and you see that hole of theft, or you see that hole of failure, or you see that hole of relationship, or you see that hole of quitting a job, or you see that hole of always having to start over. You see it, and you learn because God changed your landscape, and you say, and you walk on by it, and you let it be. You don't dive off in the same nonsense. And then it's for this. When you're walking along in the Spirit, and you're enjoying life and you're having a good time, and you see a fellow human in the same kind of hole you was in, don't throw them a tow cable or hand them a fish and walk by them. The Bible says to love your neighbor as yourself. Help them if you can out of the hole. And if you can walk with them a little while to help them not fall into the same hole, then walk with them. Walk with them. The Great Commission is to know the Lord, follow the Lord, reach other people with the Lord, raise them up and let them go out. That's what you're called to do. That's what you're called to do. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, the altar is open. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord, we pray. Jesus' name we pray. If you have problems in your life and you need a standard in your life, stepping to the altar and praying about it would probably be a good idea. Letting God get involved more than the prayer line is a good idea. There's nothing wrong with the prayer line. But grab the horns of the altar and get God involved with your situation. Tell God, I don't like where I'm at. I don't like how this feels. God, your word doesn't say that I'm going to be in lack or I'm going to be run shot or run over. I'm going to be defeated. God doesn't desire to see you the tail instead of the head. He doesn't desire to see you the last. People of God, get God involved with your life and what is going on, and pray and worship and seek Him. Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father. On behalf of my neighbors, lift up a standard. I know every person has a flood in some compartment of their life. I know they do. Father, lift up a standard, I pray. Let the standard man wave that flag and the army of heaven in the Holy Ghost show up. Move that enemy, move that army in Jesus' name. God, make the crooked places straight. Go forward, go ahead of them. Change the landscape of the battlefield, God. Show them your fingerprints. Raise up a new creature. Don't let them be the same. Father, as they walk in the Spirit, let them recognize the pitfalls set before them because of being overcomers by the word of their testimonies, Lord. God, allow them to see our fellow brothers and sisters that are in those places, that are in those holes, God. Let us not be selfish, but let us take them by the hands. Put an arm around them and help to teach them, help to pull them out of that mess. Holy Ghost, to learn your way. In Jesus' mighty name. Oh Lord, the pitfall of sickness, I speak healing. Lord, to those that are bewildered or lost, I ask that you give direction. For any of them that are confused, I ask that you give clarity. For any that are peaceless in their life, God, I ask that you give them peace. Lord, if anybody here does not know you, I pray that they know you before the day is up. That they know this Jesus, wonderful Jesus. He wants to come in and make you a new creature. In Jesus' name. Father, pour out your presence. God, allow these people to speak in their communities and allow them to share your word. Allow them to share your wisdom everywhere that they go, that they fulfill the Great Commission. Lord, give them the opportunity, Lord. Let somebody come to them and say, could you believe with me? Would you pray with me? God, don't just let them say, I'm going to put you through to the prayer line. Father God, I pray that the people under the sound of my voice would grab their hands and say, you know what, let's pray right now. I know the same Jesus the prayer line knows. I believe. Let's pray. In Jesus' name we pray. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May He cause His face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, and grant you peace. and you're rising up and you're lying down, you're going out and coming in both now and forevermore. Think about the next one and repeat it with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. Would you give the Lord one last hand clap of praise as we're dismissed? Amen. 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 Please do not forget, Pastor Boyma will be here on the 22nd from Africa. Please do not forget prayer service Wednesday nights. Not to forget adult Bible study, and we also do some praying on Sunday nights. May the Lord just strictly go before you in every area of your life. And if you need anything, Sunday night, it starts at 6 o'clock. It starts at 6 o'clock. It's in the fellowship hall. Yep. All right. Amen. God bless you as you go. Pray, seek, and continue. Amen.